Okay, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. What I want to do to you this morning, quite a number last week came up after, not just after class, but after the assembly, asking quite a few questions, and I saw, well, I don't want to leave anybody confused or questioning. We want to make sure we understand what we're studying and why and what it means. So this morning I'm going to try to encourage you, when you read Scripture, whenever we're studying like a book of Hebrews or any of them, always look carefully at what is being discussed. That way it keeps you from jumping off to other things and other ideas. Look carefully at context. What is he discussing? Hebrews chapter 5, in the whole chapter, he's been discussing one thing. Do you know what that is? Someone said it. All right, I hear a lot of rumbling, but I hear nothing that says, that's it. I did hear it at first. Two words. Jesus the High Priest. He's discussing the high priest of who Jesus is, and specifically under this new covenant system. They were familiar with the high priest under the old, but under the new covenant, Jesus was going to be the high priest. He's going to explain that more as we get over into chapter 7. But one thing that he's trying to get us to see and get them to see, that what order of high priest would Jesus be of? Melchizedek. Melchizedek, they knew about Melchizedek. He's going to be of that order because Melchizedek's order of high priest was permanently, forever. Jesus was going to be the permanent. And being a high priest, he's not going to be of the order of the Levites. He's going to be the order of Melchizedek. And like I said, he hasn't explained that, so I'm not going to go into explaining it. We'll let the book tell us when to explain things and not to explain things. So in discussing all these different roles and who Jesus is as a high priest, look at verse 12, if you would, with me. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. These people, these Jewish brethren, were wanting to do what? They were wanting to leave Jesus and go back under this Old Testament system. And so what does a Hebrew writer remind them? Where should they be spiritually? They should be a little more mature. In what area there in verse 12? You ought to be teachers. Now, here's why I say it's so important to understand context. Many times over the years I've heard people, and people just slide it in, and you got to pay attention. They'll say, you know what you ought to be doing if you've been in Christ? You ought to be teaching class by now. That's not what he's discussing. He's discussing teachers compared to what? All right. Teachers compared to that old system. You ought to be able to explain this to somebody. And notice he says there in 12 again, for though by this time, apparently they've been in Christ enough time, quite a while, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you. They need to be taught. What do they need to be taught? The elementary principles of the oracles of God. What are these elementary principles of God's oracles? We hit on it real briefly last week. This is where the questions came up to me last week. Okay, what are the oracles, first off? It's the Word of God, but it's very specific. It's the Old Testament. The oracles of God are the Old Testament system. You can go back and you can read Acts 7, 37, 38. He talks about the living oracles that were given to Moses. In Romans 3, he talks about the oracles of God, that Old Testament. The oracles of God are the Old Testament. Here they are. They've been in Christ for a while, and now they have a need. They need to be taught these elementary. That's where you get your terms, ABCs. We need to go back to the very ABCs of things, and the ABCs of what? The principles of the oracles of God. What was all of those Old Testament system? What was all that Old Testament about? We're talking about Jesus the high priest. They came under the Jewish system, and now they need someone to teach them. What is all of that about back there? Why would you want to leave Jesus? What's that? It taught how sinful man is and that God always provided a way out. But he's going to give us in chapter 6, he's going to give us what these elementary principles of the oracles of God are about. Like I said, you got to be careful because someone wants to slide in there. Well, we ought to be teaching class by now. Not necessarily. That's not what he's talking about. They need to be able to be a teacher to discuss the difference between what that old system was and what the new system is. You've had enough time. You should be. And then he goes on at the end of verse 12, and you have come to need milk. He recognizes they need milk and not solid food. And he explains why, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. What do you learn about the milk stage? It's very elementary. The milk stage is for babies. And you know what they're not accustomed to? They're not accustomed, he said, to the word of righteousness. Why? For he is an infant. Verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. What is the word of righteousness for? To train you to what? For maturity. You see, whenever you stay with these elementary principles, when you don't get past that, guess what you never come into? Maturity. And I can bring it back to this. You and I being in Christ. Sometimes people have been in Christ for many, many years. And guess what they still don't know? They don't know what it means to be in Christ. They've not moved forward very much. Oh, they might memorize a few verses here and there, but have no clue what all of it's about. Because they have never practiced what they should. And you don't practice it, you never get trained. You never mature. So he's letting them know you need to be taught all over again to what these ABCs are of the purpose of the oracles of God and see what it's about, because we're talking about Jesus being a high priest. We can't be a high priest. He's not of the order of the Levites. He's going to teach that down the road. You have someone in need to teach you again. what these principles are about. See, they needed learning just like we need learning. We need to move to maturity just like they, you know, need to move maturity. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Any questions there at the end of chapter 5? Yes. That's a good point, yeah. And today, how many people don't know the difference between the old and the new? I'm going to give you a good illustration of that. How many people today in Christ believe that we live by the Ten Commandments? A lot of our brethren believe the Ten Commandments, they get upset because they've taken Ten Commandments out of school. Ten Commandments were part of that old covenant. We're not under those anymore. Now, there's statements that he brings up that similar to the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments were part of that old system. We have need someone to teach us because they're not going to bring you to God. The Ten Commandments won't. They were principles for them that Moses received on the mountain. And so we need to practice the word of righteousness. Yes, sir. That's a good question. Are they really doing an injustice taking them out of school? See, you have to understand their purpose. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Let's go there. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. So what was all of that elementary principles about? They were about Jesus. They were about the Christ. All of those sacrifices that they gave, the burnt offering, the peace offering, you know, the sin offering, the trespass offering, all of those offerings were pointing where? They were pointing to Jesus, what Jesus would accomplish one day. Now we need someone to teach us these elementary principles, and now what does he encourage us to do? Leaving. Interesting word. You see that word leaving there? That's the word divorce. Guess what he's calling on these people to do? You need to divorce yourself from all of that old system. Get away from it and leave it forever. Because it's not going to help you in anything. God's not under that. God doesn't use that anymore. Leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. Now then he brings up, let us press on to maturity. And then now what I want to stop there. He's going to give six elements of these elementary principles to show you what they're about. Look at the middle of verse 6. The first thing he says, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. What do you think that's about? Let's don't stay on this foundation. A foundation of dead works, of repentance from dead works. What's that about? The sacrifices couldn't take away the sins? Could they be forgiven with the sacrifices? Yes. You go back and read Leviticus, especially on the sin offering. He said their sins would be removed. But permanently? No. When you lay a foundation of repentance from dead works, here you are in the nation of Israel and you sinned and you're aware of your sin, what did you have to do? Yes, you had to go get an animal to offer a sacrifice. You brought that animal and you put him on the altar. And then what did you do? You killed him. You cut his throat. And that outpouring is the basis of God trying to show you innocents die because of your sin. Now that is a repentance from the animal is, someone said it, the animal is dead. That animal can't benefit you any longer. What about Jesus? Is he dead? No. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Works that kill. Works that won't do you any good. This dead animal is in your place. And you know what you don't find now that it were in Jesus? If you go back to that and you go back to offering the sin offering, what do you not find? There's no forgiveness from God in that now, not that Jesus has died. So that's the first thing. Look at the second thing. He says, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith in God. Toward God, excuse me. What does that mean? Not this repentance from dead works, but we need faith toward God. What does that mean? Exactly. Yeah, see, I'm familiar with the sacrifices, so I'll put my faith in this animal. You need to have faith in God, because what does God say about Jesus? He's your sacrifice. He's the way you're forgiven. You need to have some genuine faith toward God. That's the second elementary principle. Look at the third one in verse 2. Of instruction about washings. Washings. Some versions you may have may say baptisms. That's what the washings were. What about instructions about washings? There's a lot of rules. Washing your hands, washing the animal, cleansing your bodies. You know, remember what the Pharisees required them to do? Yeah, but the Pharisees require, why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? They had a particular set of rules that before you eat, you had to go in, you had to wash your hands. In fact, they'd lift their hands up to let this water run down their hands to their elbows. Washings. And Jesus said, why do you set aside the Word of God for your traditions? See, let's know, these instructions about washings. See, this was all part of these elementary principles. There were all sorts of washings and cleansings back there. You don't need to do all of that now because of Christ. Look at the fourth thing. And laying on of hands. What does that mean? Yes. When they came to offer the sacrifice, the worshiper would put his hands on the head of that animal. And what were they saying by putting their hands on the head of that animal? I want you to accept this animal in my place. I'm one with this animal, and however you see this animal, I want you to see me. Laying on the hands of the animal as a substitute. Why are we doing that now? Where should we be laying our hands? On Jesus. You know, every time you and I go to confess and repent of our sins, what are we doing? We're laying our hands on Jesus. This is how I want you to view me. Not through a dead animal. not these instructions about dead animals. Okay? He says, and not laying on the hands, middle of verse 2, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Here's number 5 and 6. The resurrection of the dead. Why were they going through all these animal sacrifices? What was on their mind and hearts? Did they have a hope back there with these animals that they could be raised from the dead one day? Not the animals, but the people. Yeah, they had a hope through those. There would be a resurrection of the dead. And what else does he call it? Eternal judgment. What were they aware of from God? There is going to be a judgment at the end. So what was all of this saying back there? What about these elementary principles? You've got to leave these elementary principles. Someone needs to teach you what the things of God, so you'll leave and divorce yourself from all of that, because those things are not going to do you one bit of good with God now. God's already shown his demonstration through who? Through Christ. And apparently somewhere down the road, they heard about the Christ, they were baptized into Christ, and now some time has gone by, and they've decided where do they want to go. You want to go back under all these washings and this lack of faith toward God? You want to go back under all these judgments and all of that? Is that what you want again? Because if you leave the Christ, guess what you have to give up? You have to give up. If you leave Christ, what do you give up? Salvation? The blood of Jesus? You give up everything God put within him. Go ahead. Absolutely. That's a and now it kind of makes sense when Jesus was on the cross and the last words that he said, it is finished. Jesus completed everything required under the law, under those oracles of God. He completed it. And God raised him from the dead. This is my son. He's the one whom I've appointed as high priest. He's the one that you're going to have forgiveness of sins through. He is the advocate that stands between you and God. Those high priests back there under the old, they stood between the people and God. But they were man. Now under this new, Jesus is the only one that can stand in the presence of God for us. See, someone, you got to leave this stuff. You got to divorce yourself from it because it's no longer effective. And God knows it and Jesus knows it. Now, what would you think if you're reading this and you're wanting to go back? What would be your thought? You'd either be offended or have to embrace it, depending on if you had any faith toward God. See, he was the fulfillment of the whole thing. And that's why when you study these sacrifices, you see everything of Jesus in every sacrifice. He is the one that made all of that. And so here they were. We gotta divorce ourselves from the teachings, about the teachings that were back there, because Christ is the fulfillment. You gotta get away from all this stuff. Let's continue on, verse 3. He says, and this we will do if God permits. What's the only question? Is God going to permit you to move on from it? What if you're going to still play around with it? Well, I'm not real sure. I need to get away from that. For a person to repent and come to the Lord, what's that based on? The heart. And it's based on the heart toward God. God has to grant people to repent. He has to grant it. I mean, you just go back and look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 23, 24, 25. You read that very carefully. And you talk about dealing with someone that's contrary to the teachings. If perhaps God may grant them repentance. To these, we will move on to maturity if God will allow you to move on to maturity. That depends on, do you want to look at the Christ? Do you want to look at your advocate? Do you want to look at the one who sanctified you, the one who's the high priest? Is that who you're looking to? God can permit it if that's your attitude. But if you still want to hold on to some of these old things, where are you going to find yourself? Away from God, that's it. You're not going to get there. So this is a matter of life and death, is it not? And here they were struggling, and the Hebrew writer's trying to give them every reason. You need to leave. You need to divorce yourself from all of this. Get away from it. It's not doing you any good. It's not enriching your relationship between you and God. But see, when they're looking at it all, what did they think it was doing? See, they think it's making them, see, we got a relationship. We go to the temple every day. We pray at the hours that you're supposed to pray. We take the ritual washings. We do all of that. We follow all those things in the law of Moses. Guess what? They can't help you. And what you just said is 2 Timothy 2, because he said that God grants him repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. That's what it does. Always leads you into truth. Any questions or comments about this section right here? Yes, ma'am. Good point. Janet said, Christ is the only reason we have a relationship with God. And that's what he's trying to get them to see, because they're wanting to leave Jesus and go back up under all these physical things that they can see. And they're not going to do you one bit of good. You're going to be lost if you do it. That's why you need to divorce it. Continue on. Look at verse 4. Now, I want you have to read these things carefully. That's why I was pointing out at the beginning of class, pay close attention to what he says. Verse 4. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them to repentance again. Since they crucify themselves, the Son of God, and put him to open shame. It's impossible to renew a person like that to repentance. Who's he talking specifically about when you read that? Would that be me and you? It's the Jewish people. And how do you know that? They were enlightened, he said. They tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Sounds just like what happened to us, doesn't it? And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the ages to come. What's the one thing they had? What did they witness? Okay, they witnessed what? Miracles. Yeah, they saw them. You know, they watched Jesus walk on the face of this earth, and they watched him heal the sick, raise the dead, do different things with different elements. They saw the miracles, and now they don't want to hold to this. They want to hold to this old and leave Christ. You know what's going to be on your account? If you can't believe the Word of God after seeing the miracles and the powers of this age to come, it is impossible to bring you to repentance. It's impossible, because now, what have you done? What does he say they've done? They've crucified Jesus again and put him to open shame. You know all those people when they had that trial of Jesus and before all the people? What did all those people have witnessed about Jesus? Did they see the powers? See, did they see all of those things that Jesus did? And they said, crucify him. They put him to open shame anyway. There's no excuse. And you're doing the same thing if you go back and you want to stay under this old system. You're going to go back and you're going to crucify him again. He's not being crucified again. No, not in any way. Someone turn over real quick and out loud, read for me Romans chapter 6, verse 10. Read it out loud, Romans 6:10. We'll get there. For the death that he died, what did he die to? Sin. What about the life that he lives now? He lives it to God, and you don't want that? He's not dying again. He's not going to go back again into all of that. No, he died once for sin, and now he lives for God. Go ahead. Yes. Again, that's a great point, because they did. Many of them were converted, and now here they are after some time. They've come into Christ, and now they decided, I like that system better. I can see everything. I can feel everything. I can sense everything. You go back now, guess what? You won't be able to come back because your heart won't let you. You've put him to open shame again. He's not dying a second time. And so, therefore, to put him to open shame, you know, that's a terrible thing to do. That's why you don't want to do it. And that's why I'm trying to get you to see. We got to leave these elementary teachings about the Christ, the oracles of God. What was that Old Testament to do to bring you where? To bring you to Jesus. All that Old Testament system was about. Galatians 3 tells us that. So, look at verse 7. We can end it here, 7 and 8. Look what he brings up here. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it, and brings forth vegetation, useful for those, to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. What's his illustration? rain from heaven benefits the ground, and those who tilled it, what do they find from God? Fruit, they find blessings from God. Look at verse 8. Now he puts this with it. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed and ends up being burned. What's he comparing here? Here's the rain from God that falls on the ground, and what does God expect? He expects produce. Now, what if it doesn't do anything but yield thorns and thistles? What kind of ground is it? What did it do to benefit from the rain? Nothing. It's close to being cursed. Now, think about what the principle. What are they doing? How do they compare to what he just said? You know, they reject Jesus, and they've got a religious system intact. It all looks religious. It all looks acceptable to God. But what are they? They are rejected by God, and they're cursed. Boy, you can see kind of the seriousness he brings into all this. You see that? You don't want to be there. You don't want to do that and go through those things. You're not going to get to God anyway but one. It's going to be through Jesus. No other way. No other religious system. Not following religious rules to get you there. It's only the Word of God, and you practice His Word of righteousness. That's what will get you there. And that'll mature you, and you're able to discern good and evil at that point. Questions or comments? It is that he would put it in that text. Do you want to say something, Rick? Okay. All right. Next week, we'll start verse 9 of chapter 6. Thank you.